3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is time for Exfabula Radio on 89.7 WUWM. We do this every weekend as part of Lake Effect Weekend. I'm Bruce Winter. Co-founder of Milwaukee Exfabula, Leah Delaney, is here every week bringing us stories from past story slams that we can enjoy on the radio. How are you doing?
Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying them. I am as well.
And it's Mother's Day weekend, so we'll have something for that too.
Yeah. We have a couple of things going on. We have actually an action-packed show. You know, for the past few weeks, we've been leading up to our All-Stars event, which is all of the audience favorites from season 9 jumping up on stage to tell a longer story. This time the theme is about connections. And so we've been featuring all these stories the past few weeks. Unfortunately, our last event in April, where the theme was Last Straw, the winner of that night, Eugene Pitchford's story, the audio did not turn out. And unfortunately, we can't air it due to the fact that we had some distortion issues.
Yeah, we couldn't fix it. We tried.
Right. You know, he was so awesome. He just blew that mic apart, basically, and just won. So if you want to see him, you have to get to the All-Stars event to see him in person, because he will knock your socks off as well.
How's that for a good tease to come to the All-Stars
right,
event?
Right, exactly. Yeah. We got some really great humdingers coming up on stage. But with that being said, we are going to start our show out with a Mother's Day story, and then we are going to end today's story with a gentleman who recently passed away that we were very saddened to hear, Shakespeare Lewis. So let's switch gears again. Let's jump back to our first story, Mother's Day. Here is Magda Peck, who told this story at our Perfect Storm event in 2016. Here's Magda.
It was about a little bit before noon on a Monday when I saw the text from Dilja. 4 words. It's bad. Call me. See, Dilja has been spending 4 hours a day with my 91-year-old mom, who'd been living alone and independently and quite brilliantly for quite some time. And I knew this might be the stroke that she always wanted. And in fact, it was. By the time she got to the hospital after not being able to speak so clearly, she told Dilja, "This is the one. This is the one. Don't cry. We'll dance together." My mom's been living on her own for many years. She's quite the world traveler, but she ended up in Berkeley. And he had a stroke about a year ago, but it wasn't the kind that she really wanted, because it just meant she couldn't walk. But she did eventually get back home. And she did eventually start seeing patients again as a therapist at 91 in her front room. You don't know Thelma. And in fact, I called her every single day after the last stroke, and I went out to see her every month. And each time she'd sit me down and she'd say, "This is it. This is my directive. I want to die at home." So by the time I got to California, I had a very clear mission. I've been her wingman for a number of years, probably since I was 16, but that is another story. And I managed to convince the hospital that she should be able to come home to die, because it had blown everything out. The problem was that Kaiser, her main hospital, had transferred her to the most elegant hospital, much like Thelma's style, and had managed to get her to a place that was so beautiful, but it would not release her. It would not send her home unless she was stable, because they told me if she died in transport, they couldn't take the risk. And I said to him, "You do not want to send my mother home to die because she might die dying?" Now, this seemed crazy enough, but they basically said, if in fact she can be stable by the morning, then we can agree to let her have transport home. But you have to have a hospice nurse from the other system in her house waiting for her with a hospital bed, ready to accept her into hospice. Because you can't go into hospice if you're not alive, right? So if she died in transport, then I'd have to call the police. I sat there and I listened to all of them, this system, that system, and hearing my mother's voice. And I remembered I promised her I got this, Mom. So I crawled into bed with her that last night in the hospital, and I just said to her, hey, Ma, chill. No, not that much, but chill. Like, get your AFib under control, and by morning, if you're stable, maybe they'll let you go home. I promised you I would get you home. The next morning, her heart is like calm and chilled. The hospice nurse, the only one available in the North Berkeley area, was at the house waiting for her. My sister, thank God, got in the transport and kept her company, because I don't do that, I just give orders. And we got her home in time for my kids to fly in from around the country, for my husband to be at my back, for me to be her wingman one more time. And then we crawled into bed with her again, and I whispered in her ear, Ma, we got this. And at the last sunset, she took her last breath and last beat. Daughtering is a full-time business. I'm going to still be her wingman. But you know what? I'm hoping that this time, maybe between 60 and my 90, maybe she'll be my wingman instead. Thank you.
And that was Magda Peck telling her Mother's Day story this weekend. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Very touching Mother's Day story, too. And yes, Mother's Day wishes to everybody, too.
Truly, truly. So, again, we are doing a special show today. Ex-Fabula was very saddened to hear this. One of Milwaukee's agent of changes, one of our heroes, Shakespeare Lewis, has passed away. He would have been 95, I believe, in June, in a month or so. But he played a huge role in the open housing marches in the 1960s. He was involved with the NAACP, the Youth Council, Commandos. And we were very fortunate, Ex-Fabula, to host him telling his story at one of our fellowships events, which plays in part to the open housing issues. The event itself was Race and Place. And he tells about a 9-minute story or so. So we're going to like cut it down a little bit, but you will be able to hear the entire story on WUWM's website.
Right.
Because we're going to air the whole thing there. So this is just a little bit of the touching story that we have here. Very powerful. And here is Shakespeare Lewis.
I can remember, I see a lot of people is not old enough, but I can remember when Black people didn't live north of North Avenue. And we know that wasn't right. Even if you could afford it to live north of North Avenue, the white man did not have to sell you his land, did rent you in his apartment because of the color of your skin or the way you acted or whatever. I remember all those days. And it had to start somewhere. This was not right. Open housing had to come. Open housing, fair housing, it had to start somewhere. So then that's where the Youth Council came in at. When we went back, we had to start deciding what to do. And to make a long story short, I got to kind of pieces them up to give you just to get y'all the ideas. When we did get to rolling, there's a couple of pictures I passed around. I was gonna pass around and show people, but you probably won't find me on there, but I'm right on the front line. I'm right on the front line. But these are just one of the marches. I marched for 3 years to the South Side for open houses because the South Side here was the most vulnerable of not mixing racial discrimination living together. They was the most vulnerable, so this is where we had to work. And at that time, in those days, the South Side was covered. It wasn't Latinos and stuff. Now it was Polish people. And they was naturally haters of Black people, if people know from way back. This is not my home, but I seen a need of something need to be done when I got here. I moved here in 1959. The good Lord spares me. I'll be 75 years old this coming June. And I have walked to the north side. and I'd look and see all the beautiful houses up and down the streets of Brown Deer and places like that. And people would look out the window, oh, I wonder what he's walking up and down the street for. But I'm gathering at one time. I remember when you couldn't live out here. You couldn't live all out here. And I played a big part, just not only me, we, as commandos and youth councils, played a big part on you living out here. But they'll look at you like you are just a pile of nothing. You know what I'm saying? That hurts. That hurts me right here to know what I went through. Got my head beat for 3 years marching. Snow, rain, nothing stopped us because it had to be done. And there was a reason for all of this, you know? There was a reason for all of this, and it worked. If I would ask that young man right there, okay, do you ever believe that there was a time that you couldn't live where you wanted to here, even if you could afford it? He would probably say yeah, but experience, he would say no, because he's not old enough. It was designed to, for your kids, my kids, and my kids' kids, that they would never know that they couldn't live wherever they wanted to in Milwaukee. I was at the table. I think it was 68. I mean, it brings my memory. My head is so cluttered with stuff. I can't remember just everything, but I remember this. I was there in Washington, D.C., when the Vice President of the United States, Hubert F. Humphrey, signed that bill. I was sitting right at the table. We traveled, setting up. There's a lot of places that people wanted to be. They wanted to be like us, so they would come and try to get our ideas. We was nonviolent, unless we was pursued, where we had to protect ourselves and the marchers. We took training. We didn't carry weapons, you know, like a lot of the other organizations did. But we can't win with no weapons. We ain't got no weapons. We ain't got no tanks, airplanes, you know, half tracks. We got to go to the man that's got them to win that. That's a revolution, and you can't win that. You know what I'm saying? You can't win that at all. So anytime I get to tell my story and tell my feelings and tell about these fellow friends of mine that was there, young man back there, he was right there with us. To tell it, I have to. Sometime I get full and fill up because it was so tense. And when you're not getting recognized as something, but people go through February and they talk about who made it and who made this here, but they never come back down to the root of the problem. If you got a problem, you got to want it fixed, you got to go back to the root where it started at, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if they know that these people just popped up, but they had a lot of things behind them. The youth council here in this town had a lot of pull with the black community. If we supported a candidate for politics, the town was behind us, the community was behind us because we made good choices. I was Bobby Kennedy. I was his bodyguard when he was here, when he campaigned for him. Marlo Thomas, she campaigned for him. I was her bodyguard. But they had their own private security, but when they come to the black community, that was our job. They was there, but it was our job to look out and get them back to where they're supposed to be while they're in the black community. This is the kind of organization we were. This is the kind of support we had. If they had to get to a speaking engagement, we seen that they got back there and got back to their hotels where they had their own security, which they had their own security all the time. But this was our role. Strong, powerful, and determined that nothing was going to stop us from getting open housing.
And that was Shakespeare Lewis, one of our great agents of change here in Milwaukee, telling his story. And again, that's just an excerpt from the entire story that he told. We are going to air the entire 9 minutes on WWM. So please go to the website to hear the entirety.
Right. The whole story is at WUWM.com.
That's right.
So what's coming up?
Oh, well, my goodness. This is it, babe. We are wrapping up season 9.
We're done, huh? Okay.
We're done. Clicker. No, we're never done. We're going to keep going. We're going to be rolling into season 10 in September. But before that, we have our All-Stars event that we are plugging crazily. That's going to be on May 18th. That's a Friday night at the Turner Hall Ballroom. We do recommend that you get your tickets via pre-sale. So please go to papstheater.org for that interesting information. And also, if you would like to be a part of our fantastic organization, if you would like your bragging rights and say that I volunteer for Exfabula, you can get that information on our page for the volunteer orientation that's going to happen on Tuesday, May 22nd.
Boy, all in one breath. That's really good.
Yes, but definitely all story-related information is going to be at our exfabula.org. And we will not be stopping with our radio shows this summer. We're going to keep going with you guys on WWM. So
we will be here every weekend as per usual. That's for sure. Fantastic. And if you want to hear today's stories again, as I said, the entire Shakespeare Lewis story, and this part of the story too, is at wuwm.com to listen again or to share. And as Leah said, all information is at exfabula.org. And we'll be back next week.
Fantastic. See you then.
Okay.